government surveillance and healthcare utilization data in the context of a public health emergency in Vancouver, Canada. Before I get started, I want to acknowledge all of my colleagues who contributed to this project, as well as folks at the Public Health Surveillance Unit, the Overdose Response Coordination Committee, and my Canadian Field Epidemiology Program directors. So to give you some background, in April of 2016, the Provincial Public Health Officer declared under the Public Health Act a public health emergency related to the number of opioid overdoses that were occurring in the province of BC. We can see here the number of deaths, as well as the rate of illicit drug overdose deaths by year. We started seeing a sharp increase in 2014, and there's actually been a quadrupling of the rate from 2014 to year-to-date 2017. To give you some context about where I'm coming from, Vancouver Coastal Health is one of five geographic health areas in the province of BC, which is the westernmost province in Canada. It serves an urban and a rural population and is depicted here in green, and it also has in its jurisdiction the largest city in the province, which is Vancouver. In 2016, VCH had the highest illicit drug overdose death rate than any other region in the province at 22 per 100,000, and Vancouver had the highest number of deaths than any other city or town at 219. To give you an example, in 2011, our emergency department surveillance data has been able to look at overdose-related emergency department visits, and we report on this weekly. This figure is very busy. It's just to demonstrate how we're able to break down by week what emergency department visit overdose visits look like by substance. And using this information, our objectives were to identify and describe a population of patients who had severe suspected opioid overdoses, to analyze their healthcare encounters in the 6 months prior to a severe event, and to identify opportunities to improve harm reduction interventions in the region. In order to do this, I mentioned that we leveraged an existing emergency department surveillance system. This uses an algorithm to identify events based on ICD codes, discharge diagnoses, and free text fields, depending on the system. And the extracts include information on date of visit, presenting hospital, substances involved, as well as patient disposition and acuity. We also get patient demographic information. And what we did is we identified for this population severe, so CTAS 1 or 2, opioid overdose patients who presented to our emergency departments between January 1st and June 18th, 2016. Just so you know, CTAS is the Canadian Triage Acuity Scale, and a score of 1 or 2 is equivalent to resuscitative or emergent visits. So these would be the most severe opioid overdose presentations. Once we identified those events, we're able to link back to unique patient identifiers and can go into the electronic health systems to look at what their healthcare encounters look like in the 6 months prior to a severe event. We're able to look at hospital-based encounters, including emergency department, as well as inpatient stays and admissions, as well as outpatient encounters. We're able to look at community program encounters as well. So this is a very descriptive study. We're able to look at the population demographics, how and if they're engaging with healthcare services, and what some of that engagement might look like from repeat encounters, reason for visit, and time for most recent visit to the event. So for the study population, what you can see in this figure is the number of emergency department visits for opioid overdoses during the time period of interest by CTAS score. And what you can see here is that of the 718 overdoses that were identified, a smaller proportion, so 17%, are actually those more severe presentations of CTAS 1 and 2. So there was 122 individuals that were identified during this time period, of which 108 were included in the study. So once those 108 individuals had been identified, we're able to look at some of those patient demographics. So we saw that significantly more males are presenting to our emergency departments at 64% relative to females at 34%. The average age in years is 37, and we saw that the majority of these patients are between the age of 19 and 49. This is comparable to what we see with our illicit drug fatalities as well, where the subset of the population that's most impacted is among adult males. When we looked at location of residence, for those who had any address information, we're able to determine that almost half of our residents are coming from two small areas in downtown Vancouver. Don't have a map up here, but if you want me to show you where that is, come find me afterward. And what we know is that these two areas, the city center and the downtown east side, are the parts of Vancouver that have the biggest burden of this emergency. We see it in our emergency health services data, in our ED data, as well as in our fatalities. So now once we start to look at healthcare encounters, we see that the vast majority, almost all of these patients, so 95%, have had some sort of encounter with VCH Health Services, and that 3/4 of the population has actually had at least one encounter within the 6 months prior to an overdose event. We see a larger proportion of the population in our hospital services at 67% relative to our community-based programs at 44%. But what this tells us is that by and large, these are individuals who have engaged with our services and they've done so within a period of time prior to that event. What I haven't presented here is that we're able to identify the specific setting and programs or teams with which these encounters are happening to try to identify areas where we may be able to intervene. If we look more specifically at hospital encounters, of which there were 271, it was slightly less than 4 on average per individual. It ranged from 1 to 17 encounters with a median of 3. And there was a smaller but not negligible proportion that had multiple encounters in this time period in our hospital services. So we saw that 25% of these patients had 3 or more encounters in that time period. If we look specifically at the setting for our hospital encounters, it was dominated by emergency department visits at 66% relative to inpatient or outpatient services. And if we look at that emergency department subset specifically for reason for visit, in the table on the right, you can see that the top 2 categories for reasons that these patients are showing up to our emergency departments are related to substance use, which is predominantly intoxications and overdoses, and infectious disease issues, which is predominantly skin and soft tissue issues. So we suspect from this that the likely reason that these people are presenting to our emergency departments are for other substance use related issues. So for the time, the final thing that we're able to look at with this data that I'm presenting today was the distribution of time and days from the most recent healthcare encounter to the severe overdose event. So we can see here it's divided by community encounter, hospital encounter, as well as combined. And while we see a smaller proportion of this population in our community programs, we're actually seeing them a little bit sooner before the overdose event. One thing I think, just to identify the red line and the numbers on the figure denote the median value in days. One thing that I think is really interesting from this is that we were able to identify that with this population, 27% had at least one encounter with our healthcare services in the 7 days prior to a severe opioid overdose. So what does this mean for us? Prior to this project, we didn't really know how or if this population was engaging with healthcare services. So what we know now is that for the most part, they have been engaged in services and that we have seen them within the 6 months prior to the overdose event. With this information, we've been able to identify specific programs engaging with the population to inform practice and service delivery. So for example, we've been able to connect with our emergency department colleagues, our community mental health and addiction programs, et cetera. This information has also been used to inform the targeted expansion of take-home naloxone kit distribution in the region. And this project has been expanded to include 2016 illicit drug overdose fatalities as well. And with that information, healthcare utilization data has been used as part of case reviews in some parts of the region and has also been used to understand regional contexts beyond downtown Vancouver. So I mentioned there were those 2 small areas where we saw the burden of this public health emergency, but in our other areas, both urban and rural, where their numbers might be smaller, we're still seeing significant increases in the numbers of overdose deaths. So this was a novel use of our surveillance system within the context of a public health emergency. Recognizing that in our jurisdiction, public health sits in the same organization along with acute care and community services, it was a good opportunity to be able to explore healthcare utilization. But it does beg the question as whether or not there's other data sources that need to be integrated to improve understanding with this population. So for example, treatment information related to opioid substitution therapies, pre-existing conditions, et cetera. There are also several limitations to be recognized in interpreting this data. The first is that we're using a surveillance system that doesn't perfectly identify opioid overdoses. Excuse me. The substance information that we get in real time from our emergency departments is based on patient report or physician suspicion, so it's not confirmed by toxicology. Some of our electronic health systems aren't perfect. With our community programs, we have a hard time of actually capturing the number of patient encounters. And it's important to recognize that this only provides information about folks who are overdosing and presenting to emergency departments. It doesn't tell us any information about folks who might be overdosing and responding with EHS but not getting to an emergency department or not engaging with services at all. Excuse me, sorry about that. So this is my contact information, and if you have any questions after, I'll be happy to address them.